so the up until now we've been discussing the Dinim D'Oraisa official, and now we're really going to get into the Dinim D'Rabbanan, and it's really going to all come together in terms of how to actually run a modern kitchen on Shabbos. And the first Din D'Rabbanan that we're going to look into is really the very first sugya in Perakira, and that is the din of Shihia. Chronologically, it would be the first as well, because this is an Isser that applies to something that you set up before Shabbos, meaning the Isser of Shihia is to allow food to be cooking from before Shabbos into Shabbos. So since it's happening before Shabbos, it makes sense that it would be our first discussion in terms of the Dinim D'Rabbanan. In contrast to Achzara, where you're putting food on the fire or on the hot plate or whatever heating implement you might have, cooking implement you might have, on Shabbos itself. So let's see where all of this comes from. Both Shihia and Achzara actually come from the same sugya. The first sugya is in Perakira, on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, but we're going to be looking at the sugya with an eye toward Shihia. That's going to be our goal, to try to figure out what the rules of Shihia are. So says the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, Kira Shi Sikua Bikash Uvigvava. If let's say you fired up your oven or your stove using straw or some type of stubble, no sinalea tafshil. That's no problem. You could put a tafshil on such a kira, you could put a food to cook on such a kira. But Pigefes Uveitzim, if the fuel that you're using for your stove is wood or peels, then lo yitein. Then you can't put a food to cook on it. Achi yigrov, or achi yitein a sefer. But even then, there's a way to do it. So there's a way to make it mutter, and that is by doing what's called garuf or yitein a sefer. Garuf is to shovel out the coals, or yitein a sefer is to make the coals weak by putting ashes on top of the coals. Good, that's the first line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah then goes on to have a couple of other halachos that relate to Hachzara. The Gemara, though, right away, on that first line, is not sure what we're talking about over here. What are you doing? You're putting, what do we say? No simaleha tafshil. You can put a tafshil on it. When? When are you putting a tafshil on it? Is this talking about on Shabbos? Is this talking about an Erev Shabbos? What's this about? What's the Mishnah talking about? All I know from the Mishnah is that whether I'm allowed to do this, whatever this is, whether I'm allowed to do it depends on what type of fuel I'm using. And even if I'm using the bad kind of fuel, the one that I'm not supposed to be using, there's a heter. There's a way to take care of it by doing garuf or yitena se'efer, what we call katum. There's a way to take care of it. But it doesn't say what it is. So the Gemara right away, ibayiluhu, hai lo yitein, this phrase in the Mishnah, lo yitein, what does that mean? Lo yachziru, doesn't mean that I'm not allowed to return the food onto the fire. Avalishos mashin, afal bishen ugar venu katum. But Shihia would be no problem. There's no issue whatsoever of just letting food cook into Shabbos, even on an open flame with the best kind of fuel. That would be totally mutter, and the Mishnah's not even talking about that because there's nothing to talk about. It's totally mutter. And if that's the case, umani chananyahi, and it would be assumed that chananya, the chananya omer kol shu kemachu ben drusai, mutter l'shos al gabe kira, afal pishenu gar venu katum. Whoa, so the Gemara says, that would be assumed that chananya, and then it scales it back a little bit. Where Chananya says, not that it's totally mutter and you can just do Shihia whenever, whatever. Chananya is somewhat limited also. That you're allowed to do Shihia once the food has reached Machl Ben Jusai. Then you can leave it on an open fire, cooking into Shabbos, the most intense kind of fuel, and with no garuf, no katum, as long as it's Machl Ben Jusai. That's the shita of Chananya. As long as it's Machl Ben Jusai, Mutzul Shosai HaFadishen Gavin God, O Dilma, or maybe no. Maybe lishos tanan. Maybe the Mishnah's talking about Shihia. The garuf akatam in ilolo the kolshken hafsir. And even for Shihia, it's not going to be mutter unless it's garuf akatam, unless you take care of the flame in such a way that you sweep out the coals or you cover it with ashes. Good. So this is a machlokas between Chananya and the Rabban. So again, the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to be yitain raw food, cooking on a flame, but there's machlokas in the Gemara, what this means exactly. Now, yeah.
When the chazara that we're talking about, is that you cook it on Erev Shabbos, you
So Chazara, we're going to save the whole discussion of Chazara. We're going to save the whole discussion of Chazara, Bez Hashem, tomorrow, the next day. I'm not sure exactly when we'll get to it, but Bez Hashem, that's the next topic. Next is Chazara, then Hatmana, and then hopefully we'll have time to go through an overview of the kitchen, the tour around the kitchen, going through all of the issues. Shehiya, Chazara, Hatmana, all of the different issues that can come up. Bishul we already discussed. We already taken care of Bishul. Now, obviously, whatever we're talking about over here is going to be only an Isser Durabana, meaning assuming that we're talking about Shehiya over here. And again, how do we have it? There's definitely an Isser called Shehiya. The Machlokas is whether we hold like Hananya that Shehiya is Mutter as long as it's Machl Ben Jusai, or you hold like the Chachamim that no, even if it's Machl Ben Jusai, Shehiya is not going to be Mutter. Right, but there's definitely an Isser called Shehiya. Now that Isser of Shehiya has to be an Isser Drabban. It cannot be Doraisa. Why? Why can't it be considered a Malacha of Bishul and Shabbos? Because you're not doing it in Shabbos, right? You're doing it on Erev Shabbos. So and things that you do on Erev Shabbos cannot be an Isser Doraisa of Bishul and Shabbos, right? It's very mistaver that it's got to be an Isser Midrabban. What's the reason for this Isser of Shehiya? Assuming that there is an Isser of, meaning again, both Shittas hold that some sort of Isser exists. What's the reason for the Isser? So both Rashi and the Rambam both say the same reason. I don't know, it doesn't seem that anyone really disagrees. And they say that the concern is that Shami Yechata Begachalim, that the concern is that you're going to see that it's not cooking as fast as you would like it to cook, and therefore you're going to come to write Rashi and Dibra Maskel Ad She Yigrov on the Mishnah. Ad She Yigrov HaGachol Mishum Demosef Hevel, unless you sweep out the coals because the coals are adding heat. The time of Prishim Perik Tilel Shami Yachta BeGachalim, that we're afraid that you're going to raise the flame, you're going to stoke the coals to make the fire higher. And then what? So what? Salbi Mechad BeGachalim. What's so terrible about that? That's Havara. And, potentially, Bishul. Right. But you don't need it to be Bishul. Meaning, remember we had that whole discussion of something's already Malchut Ben Jusai. Is there an Isser of Bishul to then cook it further? Right. So we assume yes, right? But you don't have to assume that way. Meaning, you could assume that there's no Isser of Bishul once it's Malchut Ben Jusai. And I'm still worried about Shem Yechata because it's still Havara. It's still a Malachat HaOraisa. So it's not gonna help. So Shem Yechata is going to be a concern, whether it's a Bishul concern, whether it's a Havara concern. It's going to be a concern. So Chananya again holds, once it's Machal Ben Jusai, before Shabbos, you're good. There's nothing else to be concerned about. Where the Rabbanan hold that, and the way we're gonna see, La Halacha, the Rabbanan hold that it has to be, meaning, is there ever a point, let's put it this way, is there ever a point where, according to the Rabbanan, you no longer have to worry about leaving it on an open flame? The stomach v'ralim is the Shita of the Rabbanan. That once it gets to the point where it's going to be, it's not only is it not going to be beneficial, but it's going to have a negative impact on the food to keep it cooking for longer, or to raise the flame. Then we no longer have a problem with Shia. Why not? It's very mistaken. What's our whole concern that you're going to raise the flame? Well, why would you raise the flame on something that's, when raising the flame is going to kill it? You're trying to make so as long as it's even if it's mavushal called tzarcha. But if it's mitzdamik v'yafala, if cooking it longer is going to be beneficial to the chacham, we're still going to have a problem. Now, what is mitzdamik v'ralo and what is mitzdamik v'yafala? So the Gemara in Daf Lamed Chesem et Aleph tells us that hot water is mitzdamik v'ralo. Once water is hot, it's mitzdamik v'ralo. Why? Why is hot water? Nothing happens to water. It evaporates. Of course something happens to water. It dries up. So that makes it mitzdamik v'ralo. So Rav Moshe writes that in Igros Moshe, in that Rabbi Eider Tshuva, Chel Dal Simenayin Dal, Bishul Os Gimel, Rav Moshe writes, 160 degrees. Once water is 160 degrees, there's no Isra of Shehiya, even according to the Chachamim, you can leave it on an open flame. Great. Now we have this major machlokes Chananya and Chacham. The most important question is, how do we paskin? Meaning, this is going to be everything, right? Can you leave a chalent cooking in a crock pot or in a regular pot on a stove going into Shabbos?
But also, we said raw.
We'll get to that. There may be another kula called a kidra chaisa. We'll get to that. There may or may not be. We'll have to see whether. Meaning, what? Oh, you give Sharon Kidra Chaisa? Okay, great. So, you'll tell me if I get anything wrong when we do it. I'm going to try to be as thorough as possible. We'll see. If there's no time, maybe I'll skip it, knowing that he has, that Rabbi Balsam has covered it already. Okay, so how do we paskin? Did he talk about this? Did he talk about like the whole sugya or just kidrachayzim? All right. So Adrav, I just have greater expectations that all of you know the sugya then. Okay, so how do we paskin? Yeah. Oh, so the Rif and the Rambam paskin like the Rabbanan, that lishos tinan, and that is quoted in Shulchan Aruch in that long sif in Reish and Gimel sif Aleph. The first day in Shulchan Aruch is that like the Rabbanan luchumra, that we have to be machmir. That unless it's mitzvamik v'ralo, you're not allowed to do shihiyah. Rashi, Tosos, Rush, Rabbeinu Chananel, all pasuk like Chananya, that lo yachzor tanan, shihiyah is absolutely mutter, as long as it's gemachul ben josai, and that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch also. But, how does the Shulchan Aruch quote that opinion? Whereas, yeah, it's a yesh omrim. The first opinion he just quotes mistam, and then, like, you turn a bunch of pages, certainly in this Mishnah Berurah, we got to turn a bunch of pages, and he finally comes to a yesh omrim, that yesh omrim. Where is it? Yeah, it's here somewhere. So, I'm not finding it. It didn't go away. It's here somewhere. The Yesh Omer. Here we go. On the page, on Chaf Aleph Amibes, I guess. The Yesh Omer. Shekol Shen Espashal Kamachu Ben Jusai. Oshen Espashal Kol Tzarkum. Tztamik V'yafalo. Mutala Shosal Gabekira. Now, if it's Machu Ben Jusai, certainly if it's Mitztamik V'yafalo, then you're allowed to do Shehiyah. And the Ramah, in the end, says, V'no'agu l'hakel kesvara ha'achrona. That the minig is to be making like the Svara Ha'achron, like the second day in Shulchan Aruch. So if we just stopped it right there, so how would you paskin? So if you're Ashkenazi, so let's start if you're Svardi. If you're Svardi, how would you paskin? You quote both days. What? But it's a Stam and a Yesh Omrim, so you paskin like the Stam. And if you're Ashkenazi, so the Ramah says like the second day, like the Yesh Omrim, that the minig is to be making. So it sounds pretty clear. Problem is, comes along the Bir Halacha. Says the Bir Halacha, Ayin Beis Yosef Sharech Harbe Be'ilu Ashtei Deos. Beis Yosef goes and has a long discussion about these two Deos. Ve'hadik Divrei Rav Shekasav Mnei Yisrael Adukim B'mitzvos Onek Shabbos U'bevadei Lo Yishmu Lanu. Remember, I think we quoted that in the first year of the summer, that the Rosh says, because the Jewish people love Onek Shabbos so much, we love the mitzvah of Onek Shabbos so much, so we're never going to listen to have cold food on Shabbos. Everyone loves the mitzvah so much. So Al Kain Hanach Lehem. So you have to let them be, and if they need to be Mekel in order to experience Onek Shabbos, so let them be Mekel, because that's what they have to do. So what do you do with that rush? What do you do with the comment of the rush like that? So I would have said, okay, so the rush is Mekel, right? And he says Hanach Lehem, leave them alone. Says Bir Halacha, I'm not going to leave them alone. Why? Because it sounds like it's with a krecht. Leave him alone, but I'm not happy about it. So says Bir Halacha, I like to be happy about my Judaism. I want to know that everything's above board. So he says, Mashmi said, Derach Mishum Zelo Ratzel Limchos. He only didn't want to make a macha because people are so connected to their own Shabbos. Plus, the Mechaber himself quotes the first day without a Yesharm and the second day with a Yesharm. Sounds like the Mechaber is Machmir. But ein banu koach limchos b'mekilin, shekvar nagu ha'am kayesh omrim. The only thing is, I can't yell at the people who are going to be mekil, but if you can ask me, what I really think, says Chavetz Chaim, ish b'machmir. Because obviously the rush wanted you to be machmir also, he just thought that the Jewish people are too in love with Onek Shabbos to be machmir. So l'fi zeh l'chadchila b'vadai, tov lizar shi mevushal kol tzarcha kodem chashecha l'saf l'mine'esh. B'vadai, you have to be machmir. An army shows up right before Shkia, right? Parents of teenagers, your kid comes in and, oh, my seven friends are here for Shabbos. You forgot to tell us that you're having seven friends for Shabbos. Oh, I didn't mention it to you. Yeah, I'm having seven. Is it a problem? No, of course not a problem. So now you got to get food ready in time. So quickly you pull something out of the freezer and you put something. Good. So you can rely on you can rely on the sheet of Chananya, and you could be making in such a case. That's what the Bir Halacha says, but only in a Shas Ad Chak, because really the Halacha should be Lechumna. However, the Chazon Ish, Siman Lamed Zayin, Sivkat and Gimel, Chazon Ish writes, Mash Kosav HaRosh, the Limchos, Mnei Shal Yishmu, when the Rosh says we shouldn't make a Machal because no one's going to listen anyway, Ein Kavanoso Mishum Mutav Shiu Shogigin. When he says, you know, Hanach Lahem, Hanach Lahem means leave them alone. So that sounds a lot like Mutav Shiu Shogigin Valyum Azidin. That since they love Onik Shabbos so much, if we're going to yell, it's not going to help anyway. We're going to scream at them that they shouldn't do this. Not going to help anyway. So when you know that your mussar is not going to work, don't give your mussar, right? Says Chazon Ish, that's not what's going on over here. Ela kavanaso shekivin shemachmirim heim gedol leolam kigon hashiltos v'arif v'od. So interesting what the Chazon Ish does over there. He says, since the machmirim on this issue are gedol leolam, like who? The shiltos, the rif. Who would you have said? Who would have been the first name on your list of Gedol Elam that are Machmir? The Rambam, right? It's so interesting. Va'od. I assume the Rambam is the Va'od. Right? Since the Machmir are Gedol Elam, Hayaroy Lahachmir Shalili Khanisl Plukta, it's the kind of thing that you would respect that opinion enough not to enter into Machlokes. Avam Pneish, Yeshkan Harbe Pam Bitalonik Shabbos, Lo Yishmulona Lahachmir Shalili Khanisl Plukta. People aren't going to want to accept this as their chumrah, because as most chumrahs, there is a kula on the other side. So they're not going to want to accept this as their chumrah, because it's going to be a kula in Onik Shabbos. Al kol sheyesh lahakel mi'ikra adin, yomer lahakel, u'mi'ikra adin efshel ha'makilin lahakel achri sheheim mi'bnei b'neihem shel elu sheikilu al pi ha'oros rabbel seyem. The people who want to be mekel can be mekel because they probably have a tradition in their families that they descend from the Rush, they descend from that group of Rishonim that were mekel, and they have every right to be mekel. And that's why Hanachlam, not Hanachlam, Mutav Shiu Shogin, even though they're doing the wrong thing. Hanachlam, because if they're so connected to their own next Shabbos, and that's what they say their practice is, they're probably right. That's probably their family's practice, and they can continue following that practice. Not only that, in the Sefer Minchas Kohen, he suggests that the normal rules of Halacha and Shulchan Aruch wouldn't apply over here, and even the Mechaber is Mekel, like the Yesh Omri. That's a big Chiddush, and why would you say that? Okay, but just a Yediyah to know. On the flip side, there's a Magen Avraham in the end of Siman Taf Tzadi, where he says, you know, sometimes the Ramah has different lashonos of when he talks about the minhag of what the Ashkenazi, you know, the Shulchan Aruch Chol Tudeis, and the Rama will say an Ashkenazi minhag is this way, right? So what words does he use when he says that the minhag is a certain way? What words would you see? The Yesh Omrim? Okay, but the Mechaber already quoted both the Yesh Omrim. He's just going to say that the Nohagin, or V'chein Nohagin, or Nohagu Ha'am, or Nahagu. You know, we're not trained to, like, you know, to find distinctions over here. It says in Magen Avraham, when he says Nahagu Ha'am, it's a derogatory term. The Amei Aretz are knowing that this is something that people did without the Haskama of the Chachamim. Elamai, you know, the people outvoted the rabbis, and it's like second day of Yontif and Eretz Yisrael for a minute. You know, like, the rabbis all said one thing, the people voted otherwise, you know, like, right, it's become what it's become. Nahagu ha'am. If you have something to say about that comment, we could talk about it later, but I don't want to get caught up now in that. But nahagu ha'am. That's what the Magen Avraham says. So, some of the Achronim suggest, Magen Avraham quotes that from Tshuvas Ramah, that ha'am nahagu ha'am, and not v'chei nahagin, means people started that minhag without rabbinic approval. So maybe over here, the Rama is not really being so makel. He doesn't think it's a great idea, and that would be more aligned with what the Bir Halacha suggests. Okay, so let's assume for a moment, but we always have to keep it in the back of mind, even though we're going to try to be machmir and shihiyah like the Rabban, because the Bir Halacha says we should try to be machmir, we always have to keep it in the back of our mind that the Rama says that the minhag Ashkenaz is to be makel. Right? So whatever discussions we're going to have here on in are already tainted l'kula, meaning we should be pulled in a certain direction l'kula. right? Because all further discussions are within the Shita of the Chachamim. But if you hold that you don't really need to be machmir like the Chachamim, so, you know, every machlokas is going to be a sveksveka lekula, or, you know, another sniff lekula that we always have in our back pockets, that we really, really paskin like Chananya. Unless you're before Machlam and Shlai, but then we'll have another kula, which we'll see. Okay. What?
Or
Grufa Ketuma. Okay, but meaning when we get into machlokas about what's called Grufa Ketuma, or is this a good enough Grufa Ketuma, so we're always going to be able to say, and even if it's not, well, we always have Chananya. Right, so we always have to keep that in mind, that we always have Chananya, because the Rama says that that's the minhag. So now, how do you solve the problem? So the Mishnah says you solve the problem by Grufa Ketuma. What does it mean, Grufa Ketuma? So the Bartanura on the Mishnah says it means removing the coals entirely. The Ran, in the name of the Balamar, which I asked you to take a look at the Ran, says no, you don't have to remove them entirely, just move them over to one side. Move over the coals to one side, in that way the heat is not evenly distributed, so it's not kishmak for cooking, it's not done, you know, it's not set up in the best possible way, and that's good enough. That's good enough to make shihiyah mutter. Shulchan Aruch, Reishon Gimel Sif Aleph, remove the coals. What does ketuma mean? That you cover the coals with ashes. So we're going to have to translate this into modern times, because we don't have coals. So I can't sweep my coals, I can't cover my coals, I don't have ashes around the house. You know how hard it is to find ashes? When do we need ashes nowadays? If you're a Masada Kedusha for a chasen, you need ashes. You need to put ashes on that. It's like I'm sitting there burning napkins in my backyard. It's like catching them. You know, trying to. It's like impossible. You know, like normally at the Frum wedding halls, they set up ashes. You have to go into the kitchen, find the one guy that's smoking a cigarette. What's he smoking in a kitchen for? But there's always one guy. So you ask him to just dump some of the ashes from a cigarette. Because I'm not going to go buy a pack of cigarettes just so I can make ashes. But there's always a guy. So although now they're vaping, but. Doesn't help me with the ashes, but it's we're going to have to obviously translate how we do this, but before we get to how we do it, in order to understand how we do it in a modern kitchen, we need to understand why it works. I mean, the Mishnah says there's this problem called shehiyah. If you assume like the Chacham, and there's this problem called shehiyah, and the way to solve shehiyah is by sweeping the coals, covering the coals with ashes. Why? What does that do? What does it accomplish? So that's where the Ran comes in. And the Ran writes, right, so the Ran, that it is a hacker. It's a hacker. To show that this isn't normal cooking. And that way you're going to realize when you come to stoke the coals, oh, wait a second, something's different about this, and I shouldn't be stoking the coals. So, and that's why you need to remove all of the coals. You only need, but you would only need a few ashes to smother them. I understand, meaning when it comes to removing the coals, you can't just remove some of them because there's no hacker in removing some of them. Why is there no hacker in removing some of them? Because sometimes you cook with a few coals, sometimes you cook with a lot of coals, so it's not a hacker. So you gotta remove them. But when it comes to covering with ashes, you don't need to like totally smother the flame with ashes because it's not normal to put ashes on top of it. So you're putting ashes on top of it, that's already going to be a hacker. The Rambam in the Shabbos Paragim Alachat Talib says the Rambam. Lefichach, im garaf ha'esh, o shakisa esh hakira be'efer. Goes on a little bit. Hareze mutter lishos, aleha. Shaharei, why? Here it is. He siach daito mize hatavshil. What does that mean? He siach daito mize hatavshil. That's Kidra Chaisa. Is that what I'm saying? That this becomes like a Kidra Chaisa, that you're not going to be interested in eating it tonight?
Because you're weeping the flame, it's not going to even be ready tonight. So you're already going to have this adas of okay, I'll wait before morning.
Okay. One possible understanding of the Rambam is that it's no matter what I do, I'm not going to be able to eat it tonight anyway because the flame is already so shvach. And therefore, I'm totally not focused on it. Any other understanding of the Rambam? I mean, I've already weakened the flame to the point that, you know, once I killed it, I can't reinvigorate it. So once I killed it, it's unlikely that I'm going to come back and reinvigorate it. Hezchadas, because it's just not there. I mean, the fire's covered, so I don't see it. Okay. whatever it means, hisiach daito, it's based on some sort of hesach hadas. If you look in the case of Mishnah over there, he says he doesn't understand what hisiach daito means. He says v'tzarech iyun, heich hisiach daito, shari b'daito liachla b'layla. Right, Ephraim was saying, no, it must be that you're not, hisiach daito means you're not going to eat it tonight, because that's what hisiach daito means. But the whole case of Shehiyah, where Shehiyah is usher, is that you plan on eating it tonight. If it was only meant to be eaten tomorrow, that's Kidru Chaisa, we'll get to that later, that's a totally different halacha. The whole din of Shehiyah is the case where you plan on eating it tonight. So what kind of business is hisiach daito? There's no hesach hadas if you plan on eating it tonight. So asks the Kesef Mishnah. Umilo askinu dein lo natav shel achri kiyum zeh. And it could be the only food you got. I don't know how much other food you have. There's no such qualifications in halacha. V'tam anachon, says the Kesef Mishnah, the real reason, mishum da'avad heker, kivin dugar, v'katim, v'asu l'chtuye, v'chein pirshu ravosai. Unusually. Instead of the Kesef Mishnah explaining the Rambam, what does he do? Argues on the Rambam. Says, I don't know what this hasiach das business is, doesn't make any sense. My Rebbeim told me it's because of Hecker. Hecker makes a lot more sense. Mishum Brurus of Kutin Yedalit. Vatam becalls that the Kivan de Gila Daito de Loboy Lugachalim Sagi. Brurus of Kutin Yedalit. Siv Kutin Yedalit. Hainu Kalak Chamein Sark Lito Vashen. No, did I get the wrong sukkah? Yeah. Kivan de gila daito de lobay lukachalim sagi de bevadai loasi lechatuye. You're megala das that you're not interested in the gachalim anymore, and therefore you're not going to come to be mechata the gachalim. What's he doing with that phrase? What's he saying? He seems to be combining the Rambam and the Ram, right? He seems to be saying hesach hadas means not that you're not thinking about it anymore, but you've actively shown that these gechalim are not regular gechalim anymore. So heker and hesach hadas mean, what he's saying is when the Kesef Mishnah argues in the Rambam, it was unnecessary because all the Rambam meant by hisiach daito was heker anyway. He meant hisiach daito from using these gechalim as regular gechalim, and that way it's a heker that you shouldn't be mechata. So bottom line is, l'chora, it's some sort of heker. There has to be something unusual where the... Now, what makes it unusual? Once you've removed the chalim, or once you've covered them with ashes, what makes that unusual? They're not effective anymore. So it would seem, or at least not as effective. The cooking is continuing, but not as effectively as it could have. So it would seem that whatever we're going to do for garlic focaccia in our modern kitchens, it should in some way affect the cooking. Otherwise, it's not really a hacker. Right? It would seem that way. It would seem that in some way it should not ruin, but at least make it less effective. Make the cooking less effective. Less potent. So we have to see what we do up here. Do we do anything that actually accomplishes that? One more detail before we get into applying all of this to how our modern kitchens work, and that is the detail called Kidru Chaisa. What's Kidru Chaisa or Kidru Chaisa? Different people pronounce it differently. The Shulchan Aruch Rishon Gimel Sif Aleph says that if you have a food that is totally raw, that is lo nispashel klal, has not been cooked at all, and you're going to be Mesiach Daito Mimena until the next day, that you have no plans of eating it tonight, you're going to wait till tomorrow to eat it anyway, and it's going to cook through the night without any chitui, your chitui is not going to help, because whatever chitui you do is not going to help to make it be ready for tonight anyway. And if you don't do any chitui, it will be ready for tomorrow. So it's right in that zone where nothing you do will make it ready for tonight. And it's not necessary to do anything to make it ready for tomorrow. Then you're allowed to do shehiyah. You can have raw food on a fire going into Shabbos. If you put it up right before Shabbos. So imagine, you come home from work 2.5 hours before Shabbos, and you realize, Ive, the challah's not up yet. You didn't put up the challah yet. What's better? To put up the challah now, or to wait till a minute before Shabbos and put up the challah? Sounds like it's better to wait a minute before Shabbos. You put it up now, that's not Kidru Chaisa. Kidru Chaisa has to be put up right before Shabbos.
It'll get to Mahal.
Unless there's time for it to get to Malchum Ben Drusai, depending how you cook your shalom, it might not. Right? If there's time for it to get to Malchum Ben Drusai, then you'll have Chananya to rely on. Right? Assuming that you can't be Gorei for Kodim or anything like that, for whatever reason. Probably because it's Kulei Alma, right? It would work according to everybody. Although we'll see practically, not everyone holds that we could still have it. So, Magen Avraham says, Magen Avraham just points out in Sukkot and Beis that you got to put it on the fire. Samuch l'chashecha mamish. It's got to be like right before Shabbos. It can't be like an hour before Shabbos. So it's interesting. How do you pull that off? You put it on right before Shabbos? What's the problem with that? What's the problem with this requirement of putting it on right before Shabbos? What? Oh, nobody said. Yeah, Shkia, Tosef Shabbos, so I won't get into such detail. Suffice it to say, there's a major machlokas of contemporary poskim, whether it's Samuch Le Shkia or Samuch Le your own Kabbalah Shabbos. Meaning, does it depend on when you're Makabbalah Shabbos? Let's say I make an early Shabbos. Is it dependent on the person? So some of my own Kabbalah Shabbos, or some of Chlishkiya. Major machlokas haposkin. Magen Avraham says some of Chlishkiya mamish. Right. So I would think that it should that in the winter time it should be different than the summertime. That there should be no Heter of Kidra Chaisa in the wintertime and there is in the summertime. The whole thing doesn't make sense, right? Meaning there are going to be 8 hours between when Shabbos starts and I go to sleep when Shabbos starts at 4. You know, and if I live in, in St. Petersburg, Russia, you know, where Shabbos starts at 11 p.m. this time of the year, right? So I don't know if that's true. But Shabbos starts late, right? It's a long, long day. If Shechter was just in St. Petersburg, he was flipping out about what he's going to do about ending Shabbos because it never gets to Tzeisach Kochavim. So he agreed to go on this trip because he agrees every summer to make his wife happy, but he didn't realize he was going to end up in this place where, and then he started thinking Rav Itzel Petterberger lived in St. Petersburg. What did he do? So he's trying to figure out, what did Rav Itzel and Petterberg do? There were Gedolei Olam that lived there. That's why they go on these trips. He's supposed to talk about all these Gedolim that live there. What do they do? What they do is they keep Shabbos until Chatzos Havayla, until 1 a.m. But of course, Rav Shach's not going to keep Shabbos until then. He's not going to say Kriyash Mashal Arfis until then. He's going to be Makbetita Kazayis of his Suda Shabbos after then. I have to say something like Mishabur recommends that we should do if you make early Shabbos. If you keep every chumra in the book, it's tough to live in St. Petersburg.
What are you doing?
But, what? I don't know. We'll ask his wife. I don't know if she'll tell me. So where were we? Yeah, so the Shvisa Shabbos just writes, Tzorich Iyun, Im Shayich Bizmanenu Heter Zeh. It could be this whole hat doesn't apply anymore. Because no one is mekabel Shabbos at the last moment. Ubiprat biYerushalayim Yerakodesh, especially in Yerushalayim. Why especially in Yerushalayim? Minig in Yerushalayim is half hour before Shkia at least. In mekabel Shabbos, it's minig Yerushalayim. In fact, Rosh Hashanah Zalman and Minchas Shlomo Chagveisim Lamedalid Ostes, and in Tinyan Simin Yerbezos Dalid, that it depends on Shkia, not your personal Kabbalah Shabbos. So Simcha Bunim Kohn in Shabbos Kitchen in a footnote, in footnote 14, quotes a Toldel Shmuel. I don't know who that is. It says, it's obviously Tali in your own Kabbalah Shabbos. Because once it's your Kabbalah Shabbos, first of all, they always had a din of Tosef Shabbos. It's not like this was recently invented. It's like, Bisman Azel, all of a sudden we discovered there's a din d'oraisa of Tosef Shabbos, right? I mean, a din d'oraisa, according to many of Rishonim. Maybe not the Rambam, but so Sefer Shabbos. Now there's no such thing as Kidra Chais anymore. Come on, they always had Sefer Shabbos. So there was always a din of Kidra Chais. Why? Because it depends on your own Kabbalah Shabbos. The interesting discussion is what if different people in the house are Mekabel Shabbos at different times? Whose Kabbalah Shabbos does it go by? Right. So I saw some of the Achronim suggest the woman. Why?
She cooks.
She's the one putting the challah down. So if she's the one planning, she's the. If the husband were to mess around with the controls on the challenge, with the fire on the challenge, he'd be in big trouble. He's not authorized to do that. So since he's not authorized, he wouldn't touch it anyway, because he's not authorized to touch it. She's the one that's authorized to touch it. So it depends on her Kabbalah Shabbos. Are you allowed to do that? That the husband and wife from the Kabbalah Shabbos at different times, that they scatter their Kabbalah Shabbos? So Rav Moshe is not a huge fan of that. But, make her adin mutter. What we always recommend is that the woman should be Mekabel Shabbos by the time the husband comes home from shul. So like when we make early Shabbos, we make Plag Shabbos. So my wife can't be Mekabel Shabbos before I go to shul, before Plag HaMincha. You know, I'd be Mekabel Shabbos before Plag HaMincha. So my wife will give me a time. Like if Mincha's at 6:40, she'll say, you are not allowed back in the house until 7:45. I need the time. So anyway, I'm not going to get back by then anyhow, because everyone has questions and we're schmoozing or whatever. But you're not allowed back before that time. It's got to be Mekabel Shabbos. Okay.
What do you just do the latest person that's
Mekabel
Shabbos?
It's a reasonable assumption. But that's what I saw in Poskim.
Why isn't that anything to do with Kabbalah Shabbos?
Why what?
Why is that anything to do with Kabbalah Shabbos as opposed to being ready before you go to sleep?
It should depend on the end, but that's the din of Kitra Chaisa. What are we going to do? I don't know. You can't say that it's different in the summer than it is in the winter. They had such a head. I guess the assumption is that most of the time it's not going to be shaykh to eat it that night. You'd have no plans on eating it that night. Something that you put up right before Shabbos, even in the winter, you're not going to have plans to eat that night. That's the assumption. Which leads to the next discussion. Rosh Hashanah and Rav Yashav held up his manein, the whole thing doesn't apply, because our ovens are so, nothing takes more than an hour or two to cook. So since on a stovetop, in an oven, nothing takes more than an hour or two to cook, the whole Kitra Chaisa doesn't apply. It used to be, they would heat up an oven, and then the fire would go down after a while, and so the cooking process would slow down. We have a constant stream of gas that's supplying the oven. Everything will be cooked in an hour or two. We'll have to discuss what about crockpots, right? What about something that's built to be, it's called a slow cooker. Right, so maybe that would be a Kidra Chaisa.
What about in the household, which seems to be a little bit controversial, let's say the husband makes the children. Like, that's the one that the husband has.
Yeah, so obviously, it's whoever has the authorization to, you know.
Now you have different people cooking different things. So now each person who cooks, each item gets to decide which.
Yeah, there's no halacha about this. I mean, all the poskim are just, you know. It's not like ironclad halakha. Yeah, everyone should be mekabel Shabbos at the same time. Okay. Now, there is reason to assume. Just one more detail before we start going through appliances over here. There are a few reasons to assume that maybe the whole issue of shihi is not an issue at all in our modern kitchens. Whoa. That we could just like erase this whole section from Shulchan Aruch. Once we have a modern kitchen, you don't have to worry about shihiyah. Why?
Maybe electricity.
Well, we use most of our kitchens, or many of our kitchens, don't have electricity. I mean, it's not electric fires; it's real fires. What do you mean? That's the way I always normally cook. I cook the way I normally cook. Well, I'm not sure. I don't know something about. No, warming shows is separate in the oven. There's no problem with Shia whatsoever. Ah, okay, we'll get to it in 1 second.
Maybe it's cool down the fire. Going it down, it's not really a hecker.
So you're saying, you're giving a reason why Garfa Katan won't work and we have to be more machmir. I'm trying to say that maybe Shia is not even an issue and everything's automatically mutter. So a couple of stories. First of all, Rav Vadi Yosef in Yechav Adas Chelik Vav Simil Chav. Chelik vav simchav. Ma shegazu chazal betav shelamu nechal gabe kira, that shem yichata bekhalim, zehu mishum shederech hakhalim lidoch kima kima. That's because when you have, like Baruch was saying, when you have coals, the fire slowly wanes. So the venim nesharos, but also matzav shelchom. Kamoshahayu. They don't stay as hot as they were, the Shas Adlaka, like they were at the time of the Adlaka. So therefore, L'chein Chashu, Shami Yirushain Omos Volchos, you'll see that they're waning. V'yavol Chatos B'Gchalim. So you come to try to stoke him, make him strong again. Avol B'Psil Shal Neif, Shein Lachosh L'Kach. You have a gas stove. Nothing's waning. It's maintaining a rock solid, steady temperature of whatever you set it at. 375, and it's going to stay that way no matter what. Ein Ligzer Shami Yechata. Maybe there's no gzera, shemi yechata, if there would never be a reason to be mechata. Meaning, what was the gzera of Chazal? Not that you're going to see that you don't like how it's cooking, therefore you're going to raise the flame. You're going to see that the flame wasn't the way you said it. That was the gzera, that the flame is going lower. You're never going to see that in a modern oven. The argument on the flip side is who said? Right? Maybe the gzera of Chazal was that you set it in a way that you intended for it to cook in X amount of time, and you're going to see it's not cooking as quickly as you would like, and you will raise it now. Maybe that's the Gzeirah Chazal, but at least as a possibility, Rav Avadia says, that the Gzeirah is that you're going to see that the flame is waning, and Tzitz Eliezer quotes it as well, in Chelek Zayin Simet HaZayinos Gimel, that the flame is waning, and that doesn't apply in our modern ovens.
Isn't the concept of the stomach
why?
Because the Sarek Moralo kind of implies that the reason why you would be touching the flame is to adjust the temperature for the cooking.
Yeah, but I mean, well, I'm not sure I'm following.
So in other words, the reason why we say the Sarek Moralo is okay is because...
the reason it's okay is because you have no reason to want to make the fire better.
Right, but the purpose of the... which implies that the purpose of adjusting the fire is for the cooking.
For the food, yeah.
Seeing what you had, and that it's not the way it was when you set it up. Did you want to say...
No. Me, the question is, what's the chashash? Why will I come to try to make it better? Because I'm choshesh that it's not going to be working out the way I wanted it to.
That the fire is not at the same level that you set it at?
So the way Rav Avadia understands is, the chashash is, it's not working out the way I wanted it to because it's waning more quickly than I would have expected.
Right, but the whole thing of Mitzvah Yafalo, right, proves that it's not because of that. Because if it's Mitzvah Yafalo, right, then you still would adjust the flame for the food, not because of it's not...
No, meaning I'm going to set it originally to cook until it gets to the point of Mitzvah Yafalo, to continue to be Mitzvah Yafalo, until it gets to Vera. But now I see that it's going to go out before then. So I'm going to try to fix it. But if it's something that's just going to remain steady the entire time, there's no chashash, I'm going to come and fix it.
But you might come and fix it because of the food.
There may be other reasons why I'll raise it, but that wasn't the Gzeirah of Chazal. The Gzeirah of Chazal was that I'm going to see that it's getting lower, and that's why I'm going to try to bring it back. That's Rav Avadia's Svara. It happens to be there's a very similar Svara in a Bir Halacha. There's a Bir Halacha in Simon Ayin Reish Hei, which is really Reish Ayin Hei, but we don't like to say Ra'a, so Ayin Reish Hei. So there's a Bir Halacha in Simon Ayin Reish Hei with regard to the Halacha that you're not allowed to read from a Sefer La'or Haner on Shabbos. Why are you not allowed to read it from a Sefer La'or Haner on Shabbos? Gzera Shemiyata. You might tilt the Ner. And Mishbru over there in Simchat and Dalit says that B'neros HaTovim Shalanu, our good Neros that don't require any tilting, Li'olam Mutu Likros Kenegdan. Why? Because you would never be Mate. So says Bir Halacha that what if you have a Ner that's an adjustable light? Right? So are we choshesh that you might come to adjust the light? He says, no. Why? Because the whole concern of Shemiyata was that the flame is going to start to flicker, it's going to start to wane, and then you'll start to play with it to get all the oil onto the wick so that the fire will become stronger. But if you have a light that's very steady, and it's always going to be the way you set it, then there's no chashash. That's what Bir Halacha says. There's no chashash. I might want it lighter. Yeah, but you set it at a certain place, and that's the way it's staying, so there's no chashash. Very, very similar to Svara.
With nightlights being involved, like,
meaning, that's exactly what we're talking about. Let's say you have an electric light that's absolutely steady. So even though there's a dimmer that can make it brighter, there's no gezerah that you can't read. Because you're not going to come to do it, because you're only going to come to do it when you see a change. But if there's no change, then you're not going to come to do it. That's the Svara of Bir Halacha, a very similar Svara that Rav Avadia says. So that's one giant sniff lahakel in every shayla of shahiyah in our modern kitchen.
But isn't that like the famous Gemara where the Amor says, don't worry, I don't have to be chosen, and then he ended up doing it. So like this whole thing is pretty much counter to that point. Like,
no, it's not, because in that case he was using an actual net. He was just saying, I'm so frum, I'm not going to do it. No one's so frum that they can get around the gzeiros of Chazal. But we're saying the Chazal were only gozer because they were concerned when that in the kind with the kind of light that will flicker. But if you have a light that will never flicker, that was never including gzeiros Chazal. A second major svara lahakel in everything in our modern kitchen, Rav Moshe, Igros Moshe or Chaim, not in the Rabbi Eider tshuva. That's a chiddush. We have something not from the Rabbi Eider tshuva. Or Chaim Chelik Aleph Siman Tzadi Gimel. Rav Moshe writes that the gzeira was Shema Yichata Begochalim. That was the gzeira. Why didn't they make a gzeira that instead of just stoking the coals, I may just bring more firewood and light more fire? I don't know why, but they didn't make such a gzeira. Right? They never made a gzeira that I'm going to bring new fire. I'm going to bring more fuel to the fire. Why not say I'll throw on a couple of more logs and then the fire will go up? On top of those ashes, I'll put some logs and then it will catch fire and it will be a bigger fire. No, only Shema Yichata. I'm going to take the fire that's there already and I'll play around with it. So says Rav Moshe, what are we doing when we raise the flame in our modern kitchens? What are we doing? The gas line is opening up wider. More gas is coming in. We're allowing more fuel to come into the fire. Rav Moshe has a few chidushim about stoves and lakula. In Hilchos Yontif is the much bigger one where he's afraid to even write it. And he says, that I have a bigger kula than I'm writing over here, but I'm not going to tell it to you. But anyone who ever like lived or visited the Lower East Side knows that Rav Moshe used to turn off stoves, kaseder on Yontif. Like, just shut the flame. He held that it wasn't a problem. And Rabbi Tellner said that even in Muncie, when he would have his father and his father-in-law for Yantif, his father would stand by the stove to make sure no one touches it, and eventually his father would go to sleep, and Rabbi Moshe would go and turn it right off. But that's a different discussion of why he held that way. But over here, Rabbi Moshe is saying, this is bringing new fuel. What is bringing new fuel going to do? That's not part of the gezeirah. Wow. But then Rav Moshe says, I acknowledge that the minig is to be machmir. And then there's potentially a third reason to be makel in our modern kitchens. In the Gvuras Akiva, he quotes from a chacham echad. I have no idea. De'efshar shebetanurim shalanu lo shayich achshash. Why? De'eish shebetochatanur li'olam lo mishtane. He says, what happens when you raise the flame of our oven? Does the fire get bigger? On the stove, yes. In the oven, no. He says, the way most ovens are made, the fire doesn't get bigger. What happens? It stays on for longer. So every oven is built in such a way where you don't have the ability to make the fire larger. You only have the ability to make the fire stay on for longer. And he says, maybe even though Rav Moshe was not willing to rely on his svara, maybe this Chacham Echad said maybe he'd rely on my svara. And it's not just that, so Rav Moshe's svara, the gzera was never about bringing more firewood. But it's better than that. It's never even possible to make the fire bigger. V'omer ha-Chacham Anald, Yeshlomer, Davul bi de'igros Moshe lo samach al svara so lahatir, ulai kan yaskim lahatir. That's a little much, I don't know. First of all, an unnamed Chacham, it's always a little dubious. Second of all, to say, Ramesha only wasn't happy with his svara, but if he would have been as smart as me and thought of my svara, then he would have been happy. What? No, I don't know who the Chacham Echad is. I don't know who, He didn't know the Metzius of the Avin. Okay. I don't know if it was. Look, here's where the Metzius is different. Nowadays, there are a lot of safety features in ovens. So, Mitzvah is probably with opening an oven. There are many ovens that when you open them, the fire immediately goes down. The Mitzvah used to be when you open it, you assume that the fire, if it was off, is going to immediately turn on because all the cold air is coming in, the thermostat kicks in, and it's going to turn on the fire. So that no longer happens. At least the safety feature will not allow that to happen. So there are certain things in Mitzvah that are different, but I don't think that Mitzvah was different.
Is that a new oven?
That's what they say, that it just stays on for longer because the fire will slow down once it reaches the desired temperature.
The reason why the Gezer wouldn't say adding fuels, because adding fuels would be a deraisa pavara. You're taking the things you're letting them fire. So
either way, the Shema Yechat is Shema, you'll violate Havara. Havara could be violated, but the way you're going to violate Havara is by stoking the coals. It's the same Havara when you add new fuel.
So then why would the assumption be that you wouldn't add fuel also? Why wouldn't that be
Chazal weren't, they didn't think that someone would come to do that. A quick action like that. But you're not going to come and go out to the shed and get more firewood and add it onto the... That's a whole mice. That's not just a quick action. Is a quick action. Yeah, but Chazal weren't goes there. Right? I got no gozer. Okay, so that's, I realize we're cheating the system. But those are possible reasons why Shehiyah maybe wouldn't apply nowadays. Again, as just something to keep in the back of our mind when we're dealing with the actual Lamaisa issues. So we have Hananya, that we very likely really possibly like Hananya Meikir Adin. And we have the possibility that the whole din of Shia doesn't even apply Bizman Hazeh, either because you hold like Rav Avadya, or because you hold like Rav Moshe, probably not because you hold like Chacham Echad, right? But you have these possible reasons. Now let's talk about this. So how do we get Gar Fakatim done? How do we do it Bizmanenu? So Mishpura Sukkot Pei Aleph, based on the Magen Avram Reish Nun Gimel Sukkot Lamed Aleph, that a blech works. Rav Moshe. Chelak Aleph Siman Tzadi Gimel, also a blech works. Okay, what does it mean a blech works? What does a blech have to cover? So this is a three-way machlokas. What's the three-way machlokas? It either has to cover just the fire, no?
Oh, the handles or both.
Just the handles or both? Right? What's mstavar to you? I mean, what was Gar Fakatim for? That you don't come to be mechata. So if it's meant to achieve, if garav katam is just a echitimta of how the do something that will avoid chita begachalim, right? If that's what garav katam is all about, covering the handles would be the best way because no one ever goes to their stovetop with a canister of gasoline, and that's never the way you raise the stove. So if that's what it's about, what's the svar of the other way? Why is it dafka the fire? Because you'll find another pitchfork somewhere else. Meaning, it's this fire that you're going to be dealing with. Right? I would imagine. What's the svara the other way? That it's got to be the fire, not the knobs?
That's when you're stoked. That itself is when you're going to stoke, so that's covered.
Meaning that when Chazal made this gzeira, right, meaning certainly in the times of Chazal, the way they would have done it was on the fire itself. They didn't have a knob, they didn't have a handle to turn, right? Certainly it was on the Chalim itself in the times of Chazal, yeah? So the question is Garu Fakatum a specific Takanas Chazal? Or is Garu Fakatum a Chitimtsa? It's just the best way to avoid Chitim. You understand the difference? If Garu Fakatum is like, meaning just like Shehiyah is a Gzeres Chazal. And whatever Chazal made a gzeira, that is the gzeira. Those are the rules. Garav v'katam was a rule of Chazal. They put in place. This is how we solve Shehiyah. B'chiyai gavna, we are not gozer the problem of Shehiyah. If that's the case, we got to do what they did, which is cover the fire. Or do you say no? Garav v'katam is not the gzeira. The gzeira is Shehiyah. Garav v'katam is that if you can satisfy a reasonable, logical mind to assume that there would never be any chashash of chitoi, then there is no gzer of shihiyah. For example, garav v'katam. Or, for example, you cover the knobs. Meaning, anything that would reasonably take away shami yichata, that's really what's behind this. This machlokas, l'chora.
Yeah,
then, of course, because
of
Mesiach Das.
Right.
Okay, good. Maybe it would depend on that, whether it's Mesiach Das or a hacker. Because a hacker could be viewed in two ways. Hacker could be a hacker on the fire that this is not a normal fire. or a heker could be a reminder that I shouldn't be mechata. So who holds what? So Rav Moshe writes, really the Ikar Adin is the fire. It's a good idea to cover the kaftorim as well, to cover the knobs as well, and that's what the Debrecini Rav writes in the Tshuva, and Rav Ozner writes in the Tshuva. Rabbi Eider says, Shamati b'shei mori v'rabi agor ravar and kotler zatzal, de betanurim didon, after tov shagame eishia mechusa b'blech, ha ikaru b'kisoya kaftorim. That Rav Aaron Cutler held the ikar, you cover the knobs, and it's a good idea if you want to cover the fire also. And once again, and therefore, b'di'eved, if it's a situation that's difficult to cover the fire, kigon be'ezet tanurei chashmal, you cover an electric stovetop, you'll destroy the whole stovetop. Covering the knobs is easier. Rav Aaron Cutler would say, good enough, you can cover the knobs. And then you can put food directly on the, you can leave food cooking directly on the electric stovetop. Rav Moshe explains why he disagrees. So Rav Moshe writes, and we'll get to the oven probably tomorrow, but Rav Moshe explains why he disagrees. Avol vade, says Rav Moshe, zeh levad sheyichasas hakavtorim v'lo esha'esh lo yoil. There's no way it works. He doesn't quote Rav Aaron by name, but he says there's no way it works to cover just knobs. Sheikru shetzarech laharos shedaito lahavchis. You have to show that you're trying to ruin the fire in some way. Covering the knobs has zero effect on the fire. Remember, we said we started here with this. Right, what's the point of Gara Fakata? I mean, what way is it a hacker? Because I'm taking away some of the potency of the fire. Ooh, so then I have to do something that does something to the fire. Covering the knobs doesn't do anything to the fire. Putting a flat sheet of metal over it messes up the whole method that fire is able to cook. It spreads out the heat. It's less intense in one place and it spreads it out to other places. That's why, by the way, the poskim, when they talk about a lot of electrical appliances, all the Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Eliashiv, they all say just to put a thin piece of foil over a hot plate is not called garf v'katan. A thin piece of foil. Why? Because a thin piece of foil has no effect over a hot plate, over an electric hot plate. It has to have some effect on the fire. That's the chumrah that Moshe suggests. And many poskim hold that it's totally unnecessary to cover the knobs at all. Shlomo Zalman, Rav Eliashiv, Rav Tzion Abba Shaul, you know, covering knobs is just, it's silly. That's not the gezer of Chazal. You're coming up with your own heter, but that's not what Chazal said. Chazal said you need to make it garf v'katam. Garf v'katam means you're weakening the fire. Chaznish in Siman Lamed Zayin says that certainly covering, it holds a big chumah, that even a blech doesn't work. Chaznish says that it's derech bishul of the blech. You ever go into an industrial kitchen? Like one of these big, in a restaurant, you know how they make the steaks? They have a big flat sheet of metal, and that's what they're making things. They're cooking on this big flat sheet of metal. They do, right? What?
The whole thing.
Oh, there are fires underneath it. Okay, meaning it's built that way, but this isn't that different, says the Chazanish, and therefore it's not garf. It doesn't fulfill garf katam at all. Obviously, certainly in America, is not like Chazanish. So that's as far as a blech is concerned. So again, we have that three-way machlokas. Well, tomorrow we'll try to finish up Shehi and get into Chazara. We'll talk about ovens, crockpots, hot plates, hot water urns, warming drawers, as far as Shehi. And then we have to talk about all those things again as far as Chazara, but we got to first start learning about Chazara. So that's all that is on tap for tomorrow. Again, a reminder to come up with questions to send to Meir before the end of the break for the Q&A with Rabbi Razer and me this evening.